Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Bills General Manager Brandon Bean scheduled to speak at 11 a.m. from down here at One Bills Drive. We'll bring that to you live here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Here on a Thursday, Sal Capaccio with you, taking your calls at 803-0550. Before I get back to the phone lines, Josh Schmidt back at our Amherst Studios. How do you say the name of the city where Super Bowl 59 is? How do you say it?
New Orleans.
Okay. Well, some people say New Orleans.
Oh, I see what you're saying. There was another way to say New Orleans. I didn't think about New Orleans.
Well, I mean, I don't know if there's another way, but apparently there is. I don't know what I'd have to look it up. I've never actually dug into, and it might just literally depend on, you know, what your accent may be, where you're from, regionally, in the country, something like that. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I think it might be that. And then, honestly, too, like if you think about like people in New Orleans, from New Orleans, their accents, it's Nolens or whatever. Like it's that super deep.
Well,
deep
I will say, growing
accent.
Up, I think I used to say New Orleans, the New Orleans Saints. I used to say when I was a kid, the New Orleans Saints.
I think the Saints are a big driver as to why people say New Orleans instead of New Orleans, because it sounds so weird to say New Orleans Saints. It's kind of like Caribbean and Caribbean, like Pirates of the Caribbean, but like
okay,
I'm going on
yep.
a trip to the Caribbean, like. I feel like it depends on what you're talking about or how you're talking about it.
By the way, I am actually doing that, what you just said, in like a little over a week.
Oh, really? Wow.
Going on a trip to the Caribbean, yes.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, I scheduled it for after what would have been a possible, parade, and then said, oh, get away for a week or so. So yeah, I'll be doing that during February break.
And you get to escape the Clarence.
Yeah, there you go. Greg, how are you? You're on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show.
Hey guys, how are you?
I'm good, thanks.
Oh, good, good. So, a couple callers ago, you had a guy say, "Well, it's hard to beat, you know, the same team twice in a year." I totally disagree with that. I feel like Kansas City saves things for the playoffs. They save a play or two. They save a certain way of a formation. A good example was the blitz at the end there. And, you know, I had to put it on McDermott because, you know, Brady's young. You know, he's still learning the league, and he's going to just keep getting better and better. And you can say, on that last drive when Josh had the ball, the play calling was not good. And I agree with that, you know, but I think he'll learn. McDermott's had all these years to learn and still gets beat in the big games. You know, there was that third down play where Knox looked like he got a first down. Couldn't McDermott have thrown a red flag there to challenge that spot?
Yes, he could have, and I would tell you why they probably didn't. Because, A, generally those don't get overturned, but that being said, they wanted to save their timeouts, and the biggest reason would be, which makes sense, they had the personnel on the field where they felt they could just get 1 yard on the tush push. So they wanted to go hurry up. And if you're going to go hurry up, then you're going to take yourself out of that situation, if that makes sense. So I don't have a problem with it. You can go back and second guess it, but it makes sense why you'd want to just keep the Chiefs in that personnel.
No, I understand. I mean, again, then I go back to Brady, who could have maybe, you know, one thing that I always think of is like line up like you're going to do a tush push. They've proven they could stop it. And then, you know, audible and go back into a shotgun formation where they run, you know, I mean, why there's
oh, sure. Listen, Greg, I think at the end of the day, hold on, let me say this. At the end of the day, I think something could have been different on those short yardage. The Chiefs obviously did a good job to plan for it, and the Bills still kept going back to it, and they didn't get it. It says out of the box idea for Bills coaching on my screen from you.
So
I was curious what your out of the box idea is.
Yes, my out of the box idea is that Sean McDermott gets in front of the microphone today or very soon and has a huge revelation, and it makes news all across the NFL. I'm going to coach this year. If we do not make it to the Super Bowl, I'm not saying win or lose. If we don't make it to the Super Bowl, I will step down. I think to myself, if as an empathy way of thinking, that if I was him and I did that, how much more would my coaches work so hard because they love me? They want me to stay with the team to try to win that, just that little bit extra at the end of these games. And who knows?
I'll give you the other side of that. You would have a lot of coaches saying, well, that means that I'm probably here one more year and a new coach, so I'm leaving, so I better start getting resumes. I mean, we both know, Greg, that is 0.0000% chance of that. And it's not just out of the box. It's fantasy thinking.
I guess it is. I think these guys make enough money, and he's got enough money to live the rest of his life. Why not something like that? And then
I think every coach should do that then. How about every coach do that? Because guess what? John Harbaugh didn't beat Sean McDermott, or he hasn't beaten Andy Reid. Zach Taylor hasn't won a Super Bowl. Should every coach do that?
No, but if you've been doing this for 5-6 years in a row and you can't get over that hump, you know, let me ask you a question. Would John Gruden have made some of these mistakes that McDermott has made over these years?
I don't know. We're going down a big rabbit hole. Your theory is just, we know that's not going to happen, Greg. I appreciate the call. I mean, and coaches aren't going to coach harder because he says that. And Sean McDermott doesn't say anything to make headlines, let alone something that outlandish. Let's go to Ernie in Williamsville. Hi, Ernie.
Hi, good morning. I've heard a lot of people talk about what they think Brandon Bean should do. But what I'm really interested in is, how does he do it? How does his operation work? They've got to reassess free agents, players under contract, draft choices, free agents from other teams. Can he do this all simultaneously? And do you think they've already started doing it?
Sure. I can answer that for you. I know how it works, basically, in general. So there's a pro scouting department and there's a college scouting department. They're all different. And then there's one person who's in charge of kind of putting them together. That's the personnel director, which is Terrence Gray in this case. So the director of college scouting is only putting his staff and going out to college bowl game or college games all season long, putting together scouting reports all season long. All of those are done. All the scouting reports. Now you just go to the bowl games, the senior bowl, those things, the combine. You kind of look at those players up close. You kind of see if everything you scouted all year matches it. But then on the other side, you have your pro scouting department. And all year, they've been monitoring every single team, contractual situations, how that player's playing, who's going to be a free agent, who's going to not be a free agent. And then they get to this point of the year, and they put all that together and say, here's our plan of attack. Does that all make sense?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it gives me a lot more confidence in the final decision. Obviously, every choice isn't going to work out, but I think we should all be very...
I think I lost Ernie. Sorry, Ernie. I did not cut Ernie off. I just want everybody to know that. Let's go to Mike on a cell. Hi, Mike.
Hi, Phil. I know
hey,
the Bills
you're on.
Need
go ahead.
Speed. I know the Bills need speed and somebody who's an elite separator on offense. We need pass rush, but my biggest problem this year, my biggest disappointment was Ed Oliver. And I think Ed needs Ed needs a big two-gapping, space eater in order to be successful. And the Bills typically don't like those kind of guys. Do they shift their philosophy and they go after, like, the big kid from Michigan, Grant, or somebody that can demand double teams so Ed can have one-on-one? Or, and it's probably not going to happen, do you trade Ed? Because what they're doing...
You know, all great questions. All great questions, Mike. And I agree with you. I think, you know, we've seen Ed Oliver most effective when he has a guy like that next to him. And, you know, Daquan Jones did a great job of that last year. It wasn't as much this year, but the Bills do run a penetrating one-gap scheme, right? You know what that means, where you're only responsible for your one gap and you go forward and penetrate. You're not trying to just anchor down and hold a guy up and then go left or right to guard two gaps. Maybe the Bills have to think about more of that type of scheme, but they like having a penetrating one-gap scheme. I don't know about trading Ed Oliver, but hey, certainly. I mean, things have been done before. He just signed a contract extension, a year ago? So he's going to the second year of that contract extension. So Anyway, or 2 years ago, I guess it would be. But anyway, Mike, thanks for the call. Good thoughts there. And, you know, you never know. I like what you think, though, about the D-line and how maybe you have to start changing your philosophy. We'll see what Brandon Bean has to say. We'll see what Sean McDermott has to say. 11 a.m. for Bean, 2 p.m. for Sean McDermott. We will carry Brandon Bean live here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. In the meantime, let's take a break. We'll come back here live down at One Bills Drive.